Lord, thank you this morning for your presence here, for the reality of who you are released in this house this morning, God. Father, I ask you to continue to speak. I believe God's spoken to us this morning. I ask God you continue to speak prophetically into our hearts and our minds today, Lord. Reveal yourself, God, in ways we've never seen you before. Bring us to a place of brokenness and repentance before you, God. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled what I want to share this morning, Looking Ahead into 2021. Pastor Tony has been taking us through the book of 1 Peter, and the words that he's brought have challenged us as to how we live and walk as believers in the Lord, as we seek the heart and mind of God for our lives. Pastor Aaron talked last week about letting go so we can hold fast. And he talked about learning to let go of natural solutions to life's difficulties so we can hold fast to the promises of God. And I think that was a profound word. Sometimes you have to let go of something to take hold of something better. And then Jeremiah, a couple weeks ago, talked about perseverance. And I thought his definition of perseverance was profound. He defined perseverance as the heartsick longing and diligent seeking of God through difficult times. The heartsick longing and diligent seeking of God through difficult times. Just think about that for a moment. You're going through a very difficult situation. Often we can get discouraged, even angry at times, and maybe disappointed in the Lord. But in the midst of that, we need to have a heart that is seeking diligently for the mind and purposes of God in that situation that we're facing. Amen? There's a real ring here. Jackson, Dean, somebody? A ring in speaking. At least there's a lot of ring up here. I don't know if anybody else hears it. But what I want to do is build on those words, because I think those words are unto something for us as a congregation. So I want to build on those words as we look into 2021. Now, the year 2020 has been a difficult year for many and a tragic year for others. Even members of this congregation faced some very tragic situations this past year. What with all the COVID-19 situation that has affected all of our lives, which continues to go on, with the continual decay that we've seen in our country of moral values, with the increasing disregard we have for the value of human life, the incredible exposing of corruption in our government beyond anything, at least, that I ever thought or could imagine, and the eroding away of our religious freedoms. In fact, there's an interesting or an alarming situation developing in the state of Nevada right now. There's a student who is suing a public charter school because they're indoctrinating the students in this critical race theory. And he was forced in a classroom setting to reveal his race, his sexual orientation, his religious identities. And in the midst of that discussion, of course, they said to him, "It is absolutely necessary that you reject the Judeo-Christian values that you have been taught in your home." And so that's where things are headed today. And all this that we've experienced on a national level, global level, is on top of our own personal difficulties, our own personal tragedies, our own personal failures, and even our own personal sins in this past year. And so the question that I want to pose to us this morning is, how do we posture ourselves in this new year to be all that God has for us? And to not leave anything on the table, so to speak, but to take a hold of everything that God has for us and for our lives in this year. And I want to start at the encouraging place of looking at the book of Job. Now, Pastor Tony talked about Job a little while back. As we know, Job went through a very tragic and a difficult season in his life. In one day, the enemy stole his donkeys and killed his servants. A fire from heaven consumed the sheep. Another enemy raided his camels. Now remember, when you talk about donkeys, sheep, camels, you're talking about his livelihood, his means to provide for himself and his family, all wiped away in one day. And on top of that, a great wind struck the house where his sons and his daughters were meeting to eat a meal together, and every one of them was killed. And if that's not enough, then Satan smote Job with sore, oozing, infected boils all over his whole body. In fact, it was so bad that his encouraging wife said to him, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, I've told Bonnie she can never use those words in my house. Anyway, there's no doubt that this was a bad time in Job's life. But there's an interesting picture in Job chapter 4 I want us to look at. In Job chapter 4, some of his friends come to comfort him and to counsel him. And it's interesting, if I remember the story right, they sat with him for 7 days and 7 nights and never said a word. Most of us couldn't keep our mouth shut for 7 minutes. 7 days and 7 nights they sat there. They saw the depth of his grieving. And he just sat for 7 days and 7 nights. That could be a whole new form of counseling right there. But in any way, at last his friend Eliphaz speaks up to Job. Now, when you look at the comments of Job's friends, you've got to be careful how you take them, because they're not always good, sound, biblical counsel. But in any case, Eliphaz gets up and he starts by reviewing with Job how he has been such a blessing to others. And in Job chapter 4, verse 3, he says this: "Behold, you have admonished many," and I take admonished there to mean he's helped to correct and direct people into a lifestyle that would not be destructive for them. "You've admonished many, you have strengthened weak hands, your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened feeble knees." In other words, Job cared for people in their most difficult and trying of times. What an incredible testimony to have before God and for man, that my heart or your heart is a caring heart, and we're there to help people no matter what they're going through in their lives, to stand with them, to walk with them, to encourage them. Now, I believe God's called all of us to have a heart of blessing others. Amen? Boy, it's really quiet this morning. I've exhorted us as a congregation for years that when we come into this house on a Sunday morning, we're not here just to get what we can get out of the service. We are here to bless others. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have wells of living water within us that God wants to release. It's not about you. It's about the Spirit of God that is in you and you allowing Him to release that onto others' lives or into others' lives. That we can pour out the overflow of God in our hearts upon others, that they can receive blessing and they can be encouraged and they can be lifted up. So I just encourage us again, before you leave today, ask God how you can be a blessing to someone in this congregation. And of course, I don't think it applies to just here in this house. I believe it applies wherever we are and whatever we're doing, that we would recognize that we have this well of living water that God wants to release. Now, Eliphaz goes on, and he contrasts how Job is responding to his own tragedy. In other words, how he responded to the tragedy of others, and now how he responds to his own tragedy. And in verse 5, he says this: "But now, Job, now it's come to you, now you're facing a difficult situation, you're facing a tragedy in your life, and you are impatient, and it touches you, and you are dismayed." Now, this is Eliphaz's evaluation of Job's situation, but I would say this: if nothing else, it reveals that Job is a real person. And he struggled like we struggle when we go through difficult times in our lives. Sometimes we lose hope, sometimes we get angry, sometimes we grow fearful, we react in different ways. But I want to look for a moment at the way, before I do that, Eliphaz goes on and he reminds Job of where his strength came from. And I think this is a reminder to us as well. And he says in verse 6, he said, "Look, Job, is not your fear of God your confidence? And the integrity of your ways your hope? Is not the fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Should this not be where our strength comes from as well?" I believe that Job had confidence in a God that was good and just and faithful and that loved him. And he lived his life. He was faithful to obey the ways of God as he understood them. And that brought hope to his heart because he knew he was in right standing with the Lord. Now, I just want to contrast that for a moment with Job's response to the situation he faced, to the cultural mindset that we have today and the way people face difficulties today. Many times we want to blame others. It's someone else that's the cause of my problems. It's not my fault. Life is unfair. I prayed to God once and he didn't answer my prayers. And we become victims of everything that happens in our lives rather than seeing, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we've been raised up with Christ and we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And it's so important that we begin to see life from an eternal perspective, not an earthly perspective. That we step outside of ourselves and see things as God sees them and allow God to open our eyes to spiritual realities and spiritual truths. So we can know how we're supposed to respond to life when we face difficult situations. I believe that failures, disappointments, difficulties can be either friends or foes, depending on how we respond to them. Failures, difficulties, disappointments can be our friends or they can be our foes. We can either grow better or grow bitter. Too often, as Bill Johnson said, disappointment is what we hide behind and accuse God of being unfaithful. You ever been there? Rather than holding on to God and believing that God is good and just and faithful, we choose instead many times to grumble and complain, to harbor resentments and bitternesses, to live as victims in an unfair world. Now, I really appreciate something that Stuart Greaves said. Stuart Greaves is the son of the house here, and he said something profound. He said, we were never intended to hold our own wounds above the wounds of Jesus Christ. We were never intended to hold our own wounds above the wounds of Jesus Christ. In other words, we were never intended to lift up my hurts, my pains, hold them higher than the wounds that Jesus Christ suffered on my behalf. And when we do that, all it does is lead to more pain. And it's only when we exalt the wounds of Jesus Christ above our own wounds, our own hurts, and our own pain that we find peace and hope in the Lord. Jesus tells us in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to, but I came that you and have it abundantly. Now, that verse does not mean that we will not face difficulties in our lives, but it does mean that God delights in pouring out abundant life upon us. The heart of God is to bless us. Stephen Furtick said something interesting. He said, God uses disappointments to develop us, and the devil uses disappointments to discourage us. Right? And so we can allow disappointments, we can allow hurt and pain to either discourage us or allow God to work in our lives and develop us into the person that he's called us to be. We can be victims or victors. There are many things in this life that we have no control over, but we have full control over anything that happens in our life that we have no control over, or how we respond to anything that happens in life we have no control over. There's a lot of things in life we have no control over, but we have full control over how we respond to what happens in our life that we have no control over. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Life can be unpredictable, but how we respond to it is what's really important. We have access to the unlimited resources of heaven. In Romans 8:16, Paul says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Everything that belongs to the Father was given to the Son, and everything that was given to the Son has been given to us. We walk in the fullness of God's blessing and provision. And the question is, are we going to see it, recognize it, and take a hold of it, or leave it sitting on the table, so to speak? There's so much that God has for us. There's a man by the name of William Gladstone. I believe he was an Englishman. And he said this. He's speaking about his country, but I think it applies here. He said, "My only hope for our country is in bringing the human mind into contact with divine revelation." And I would say that's true about the United States of America. The only hope for the United States of America is in bringing the human mind into contact with divine revelation. And I would say that about my life personally. The only hope for my life is to bring my mind into contact with divine revelation. We need an ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ in every situation that we face daily in our lives. We must hear the voice of God. We must look to God in the midst of our difficulties and persevere, as Jeremiah talked about, and hold on to the Lord, as Aaron talked about, and see the purposes of God fulfilled in our lives. Psalm 43:3 is one of my favorite verses. It's the psalmist. Psalmist in the middle of a difficult situation, and he cries out and he says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth, Lord. God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me, Lord. Oh, God, send out your light and your truth, and let them bring me to your holy hill and into your dwelling places." That needs to be the cry of our heart at any time in our lives, but even more so perhaps when we're going through difficult situations. That's when we need the light and truth of God. Oh, Lord, send out your light and your truth. Open my heart, open my mind. Help me to understand what you're doing in the season and how I can respond to it in a way that'll please you. In 2021, I want to be more God-conscious than COVID-conscious. Amen. I want to be more promise-focused than problem-focused. I want to be more kingdom of God-centered than earthly-centered. And that doesn't mean that we don't get involved in the situations that are going on in our world today. But I want my center, my focus to be God and His kingdom, first and foremost, above anything and everything else. I believe our nation is filled with fear because we become more COVID-focused than God-focused. And fear reigns in the hearts of many. Even in the church, I've seen it. We've let fear overpower us in some cases. COVID's a very real disease. I'm not making light of it. People die from it. I know people have died from it. But I also believe that we were never intended to walk in fear. Amen. We're intended to walk in faith, in the blessing and the promises of God. I want to make my vessel available to God in this season, 2021. I want to look at a couple stories. The first one is in 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to start at verse 1. 2 Kings 4, verse 1, it says this. "Now certain women of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'" This woman was married to a prophet who walked with Elisha, and he died. And so the woman appeals to Elisha. My husband is dead. My only means of support is gone. They want to come and take my sons and make them slaves because I have nothing. And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." You know, I don't think we realize how abundantly our lives have been blessed in the natural. She had nothing left but a jar of oil. And he said to her, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself and from all your neighbors, even empty vessels, and do not get a few." That's really key in this story. Don't just go out and get three or four vessels. Get many vessels as you can, and bring them into your house. "And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went with him and shut the door behind her and her sons. And they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured into them one after another. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Now, I may be somewhat simple-minded, but I believe the supply of oil stopped not because the source of oil had dried up. It stopped because the capacity to receive oil was no longer available. There were no more pots. And I believe God desires to pour himself into our lives again and again and again because his resources are unlimited, but we must constantly and continually make ourselves available for him to pour his spirit into us. We must seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and put God first. Make ourselves available to God. Seek him in the word. Seek him in prayer. Seek him in the fellowship of the saints. Spend time with the Lord. Open your heart. Open your mind. Make room for God to pour into you the abundance that he has for us. Another story comes out of 2 Kings, and this is in chapter 13, verse 14. When Elisha became sick with the illness which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows, and then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window toward the east. And it opened. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. In other words, he's telling the king of Joash, when he shot that arrow out the window, that you will defeat your enemies. These are enemies that kept attacking Israel. This, you will defeat your enemies. And then he said to Joash, he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground, and he struck it three times and stopped. And so the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. To me, that's a significant story. It's a real picture to me of the zeal that God wants us to have for him and for his kingdom. How many times will we take a stand and hold on no matter how big or how long our difficulties last? Regardless of what's going on in our lives or how long it goes on, are we resolved to stay with the Lord and hold on to God through it no matter what we face? Will we strike the ground with our continual resolve to believe in God regardless of what happens? Will we stand even if the answer does not come soon or does not come in the way we want it to come? I've seen so many times in my life when we had a need and I would pray and pray and ask God, and here's the need, and he goes and does something over here. I thank you. That's a blessing, but my need is here. Am I going to hang on to God even when he doesn't answer my prayers the way I think he should answer them? I believe our challenge is to set aside the past with its failures, its mistakes, its sins, to replace unbelief with faith and confidence in God, and to release disappointment, resentment, and bitterness toward God and others. And in faith, embrace God's purpose for our lives, even if we do not understand it. There are things that have gone on in my life in the past that I do not understand. But am I going to hold on to God, even in the midst of confusion and chaos and not understanding what is going on? If I'm only willing to obey God with what I understand, I am going to limit God and make him subject to my judgments. I'm going to put him in a box, my little box, rather than letting him be who he wants to be in my life. I don't have to understand everything. Having to understand everything concerning the Lord can be a real problem for us as people. Because we're not going to believe, we're not going to confess God's goodness, we're not going to do anything until we understand. And God may be waiting for us to get down and bless him, whether we understand it or not, before he's going to bring revelation into what he's doing in our lives and what he has for us next. God wants to develop in us an unwavering confidence in who he is and in his love for us. Three things I've said many times, I will never doubt. God loves me, God is good, and God is just. Amen. Whatever happens in life, I will hold on to God loves me, God is good, and God is just. God loves me, God is good, and God is just. I have a warning for us. I believe it is possible to fear God and yet continue to serve our own gods and our own interests. I believe it's possible for us to have a fear of God in our hearts, and yet we continue to serve our own gods and our own interests. Duncan Campbell was a man that God used during the Welsh Revival in the early 1900s, and it was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Wales at that time. And he said this, "Too often the great things of God have not been the predominant things." Too often the great things of God have not been the predominant things. The lesser things of God have been allowed to absorb our interest, and the lure of the lesser loyalty has blurred our vision. The lesser things of life have been allowed to absorb our interest, and the lure of the lesser loyalty has blurred our vision. Now, I can testify to the reality of that verse. Many times I've allowed lesser things to take a higher priority in my life than the predominant things of God. Am I the only one? And so I pray in this coming year, myself especially, and for all of us, that we would sort out what are those lesser loyalties that we've given ourselves to, and what are the predominant things of God that He has called us to in this year 2021. Now, back to Job for a minute. I know you're dying to get back to Job. Actually, Job is a very challenging book. Again, Job lost everything. His family, his livelihood, it was all gone in a moment of time. And in Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job says this. He says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Though God slay me, I'm going to hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. This also will be my salvation, for a godless man may not come before his presence." Now, there's some profound things in those two verses right there. For all of Job's struggles, no matter how unfairly he felt he was being treated, and he did struggle with that, or how terrible his circumstances were, he felt comfortable presenting his case to the Lord and expressing his frustrations to God. He had no problem coming before God and saying, "God, why?" Well, actually, that's a bad question to ask God. But anyway, "God, what's going on? What's happening to me? What's happening to my life?" And he in verse 16, he recognized that godless men do not have this incredible privilege of coming to God. As sons and daughters of God, you and I have the incredible privilege of being able to present our case to the Lord, to wrestle with God like Jacob did, to press into the Lord, to gain a greater understanding of what He's doing in that situation or how we're supposed to respond. However, in the midst of all of Job's pain, he always addressed God with respect and recognized that God was altogether different than him and they were not equals. Amen? And so when he approached God, he approached Him out of that place of reverence and understanding. "God, you're altogether different than me. And in no way are we equal, God. But I appeal to you, Lord, deliver me from this situation. Bring hope. Pour out your favor upon me, Lord. Open up my heart, open up my mind to understand you, to see you in ways I've never seen you before." Sometimes the purpose of difficult situations is not just to get the situations fixed, but it's to draw us into a deeper relationship with the Lord, so we can stand and have faith and confidence in who God is. I want to just conclude with a few thoughts. Henry Miller said, every man has his own destiny. The only imperative is to follow it, to accept it, no matter where it leads him. Now, in light of that statement, I want to look at the life of Simon of Cyrene that we find in the scripture. Actually, his entire life is found in one verse. And I want to look at Mark 15, verses 20 and 21. Jesus had been arrested. He had been beaten. In verse 20, it says, and after they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him and put his own garments on him. And they led him out to crucify him. So you have Jesus and the Roman soldiers going through the streets of Jerusalem. Jesus is carrying this heavy wooden cross. And it says in verse 21, they pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear the cross. Now picture the situation for a moment. Simon was probably in the city with his two sons. I believe that's why the two sons are mentioned there, Alexander and Rufus. He's in the city with his two young sons and comes across this situation, this crowd of people and trying to see what's going on. And the Roman soldiers are marching this man down through the street carrying this big heavy wooden cross. And suddenly a Roman centurion grabs a hold of Simon and tells him to take a hold of this cross and pick it up and carry it. Who knows what would happen to his two sons in that crowd and in that crowd and in that mob that day? He was pressed into service apart from his own will. He had no control of what happened to him that day. He was pressed into service by the Romans to carry the cross of Jesus. And I believe that you and I have also been called by God, pressed into a service, so to speak, to carry our own cross. Simon, however, had no choice, but we get to decide whether we would carry our cross faithfully or not. How many pots will you make available to God so he can pour his spirit into you? Not just a few, I hope. How many times will you bang the arrows of resolve on the ground and say, I will not give up. I will hang on to God. I will hold fast regardless of what happens in my life. I am determined to hear the voice of God and to walk with God and to not give up. These are questions I think that we all need to answer in the year 2021. Jesus, in John 10, 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Simple declaration. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Will we recognize God's voice in 2021? Above all the chaos and all the nonsense that's going on, will we recognize the voice of God? Will we follow the voice of God? In 2021, no matter where life takes us or what the purposes of God has for us, I believe the answers to these questions will determine our success in the eyes of God in the year 2021. Amen? Amen. So I just want to encourage us. Some of these Bible stories have really been challenging to me. I don't want to be caught up in lesser loyalties. I don't want to have my mind so focused on the things of this earth that I escape what God is trying to do or what God wants to do or in some way that God would choose to use me, but I'm not available. My taxi cab, so to speak, is not available. Taken out of service. I don't want to be taken out of service. I want to be available to the Lord regardless of what happens. When I go through difficulties in my life, yes, they're going to be hard, and yes, I may struggle like Job did. But I don't want to turn my sign around and say, out of service. I want to stay in service for God. As Jeremiah said, and again, I just believe this is profound. Persevering is the heartsick longing and diligent seeking of God in the middle of difficult times. In fact, if I could go back to Psalm 43. The psalmist cried out. I believe he was crying out to God. He was in a difficult time, and he was crying out to God. He said, send out your light and your truth, Lord. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. It wasn't until this morning that I actually took a look at verses 4 and 5. It was probably always a good idea to understand the context of the verses you're reading. But anyway, it goes on in verse 4, and it says this, then I will go to the altar to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O my God. The situation hadn't changed. He had just cried out to God, God, send out your light and your truth. I need you in this situation. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I'm in pain. I'm hurting, Lord God. And then he says, but I'm going to go to the altar of God. It hasn't changed yet, but I'm going to the altar of God. He is my exceeding source of joy. And upon the lyre, I shall praise you, O God, my God. In the midst of my pain, in the midst of my difficulties, I will praise your mighty name. And then verse 5, he says this. Again, a picture of the fact that the Lord hasn't answered his prayers yet. He says, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Sometimes you have to speak to your soul and say, soul, shut up. I'm tired of what you're saying. I'm tired of the guilt. I'm tired of the condemnation. I'm tired of the unbelief. Shut up. I shall again praise my God and take hope in him, regardless of what I face in 2021. We serve an incredibly good and gracious God. And I just want to encourage us. I felt early on in the service that this is a season, particularly in the beginning of this year, to consecrate our lives to God. To fully commit our lives to God. Now, I know we all believe we're believers and Jesus is the Lord, and I understand all that. But I also understand there are times that I let other things get in my way. And I want to release those other things, those lesser loyalties, so to speak, and take a hold of the predominant purposes of God in my life. Amen? Thank you, Lord.